Lesson from the letter of St. Paul the Apostle to the Hebrews. Brethren, remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings, for it is well for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by regulations about food which have not benefited those who observe them. We have an altar from which those who officiate in the tent have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also suffered outside the city gate in order to sanctify the people by his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp and bear the abuse he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls and will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with sighing, for that would be harmful to you. The gospel passage today is about is from Matthew. It's the parable about the man who goes on a journey. He gives 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talent to his different servants. We've heard this many, many times, and so I'm not going to read it for you today, and I'm not going to focus on it at all. But I am going to focus on St. Paul to the Hebrews. But first of all, let's take a moment to think about St. Nicholas. St. Nicholas, Santa Claus, right? This is Santa Claus. He was born in the 3rd century in Patara, which is now, it's a town now on what is Turkey in the southern coast. His wealthy parents died when he was very young, and he took the words of Jesus very seriously, and he sold all that he inherited and gave to the poor. While he was still very young, he was made bishop of Myra. And at the time of the Emperor Diocletian, he was persecuted terribly, exiled, imprisoned, and so forth. But eventually he did return to Myra as bishop there. And there are all sorts of stories about him and the miraculous works that he performed, both in life and then afterwards, so much so that his cult grew enormously in areas that were especially under Greek influence in Italy. And it got to a point where some sailors, I think, visiting the East, stole his relics. This actually happened quite a lot. Stole his relics and brought them back to Bari in southern Italy, down kind of the heel of the boot that is the Italian peninsula. And a great basilica rose up there, and it became one of the great pilgrimage sites of all of Christendom, as a matter of fact. And his cult was very strong there, St. Nicholas, San Nicola. And in life, there is a kind of a famous thing said about him. In the at that time, in the 4th century, especially early 4th century, the church was being torn apart by a heresy called Arianism. Arius was a priest who taught a doctrine which caught on like wildfire, that Christ was actually a creature, and as a creature he was therefore not equal to God, and therefore there was a time when he was not. And that became kind of a byword of the Arians. There was a time when he was not, and others would say there was never a time when he was not. And it was tearing the church apart. So Constantine the Emperor called a council together at Nicaea in 325 to try to help heal the divisions, and the bishops came together and they fought with each other. And the story is told that Nicholas, who was there, was so furious with the teachings of Arius that he punched Arius in the face. And I really want to believe that this is true. Anyway, this is the council that eventually produced the form that we use in the Creed today, especially the Nicene Constantinopolitan Creed, where we say that Christ is consubstantial with the Father. That means that he is the same, he is of the same substance as the Father. Therefore, he is divine. Therefore, he too is eternal and equal with the Father. So that's Nicholas of Arius. Now, this first reading from Hebrews has some really important things in it. And I don't remember that if it's that it's used at any other time of the year. Maybe there's another saint that gets it. I don't think that it's used in the Novus Ordo at all. But here we have Paul writing to the Hebrews, who, and he says, remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider their outcome, their way of life, and imitate their faith. Now this, I went to look up this word, remember. Now sometimes, and when we're talking in English rather loosely, we'll say, hey, remember also, remember that it's your mother-in-law's birthday or something like that. That's about someone, you know, don't forget your mother-in-law. Well, okay, that's about someone who's alive right now. What this means, however, what Paul is saying is remember those who lived before. Remember those who were in the past. Not your leaders now. Remember those who you had before and their way of life. And this is a very important part in Hebrews too. This is the last admonishment that Paul gives in the book of Hebrews. It's kind of the climax of the whole thing. So this is an extremely important thing that we hear today. Now, what's going on here? Now, leaders in the church and leaders in that community and leaders in this community, the church, come and go. But there is only one who is the same always, and that is Christ. And he says in here, immediately after that, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then he goes on and says, do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. Okay, so you can see where Paul is going with this. If there come into the community leaders that start teaching strange things, in other words, they're not in harmony with the leaders you had before who taught you the truth. They're not in harmony with Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If they're coming in and saying discordant things, this is a problem. And then he goes on and a little bit of a discourse here about Judaizing, going back to Jewish traditions and so forth. And, you know, obviously, these are things that for which we have to have a certain amount of reverence, Paul is saying, but we don't follow these things anymore. And it could be that what's going on with the Hebrews, that there were Judaizers who said that we had to, you know, they were introducing strange teachings. They were saying, no, we have to, you know, basically go back. And I think probably what's going on here is they're suggesting something that, you know, doesn't include Christ or doesn't look forward. It's looking only backwards. But then, you know, what do we have here at the end? We have a line in verse 17. This is Hebrews 13. And in verse 17, Paul says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls and will give an account. Let's work through this backwards. They will give an account. One day, those leaders which have been given to them, that community that Paul is writing to, the leaders that have been given to us, the community of the church that we have now, are going to give an account. They're going to go before God and be judged. It's going to happen to the priests and the bishops of the church. It is going to happen. And God help them if they're not faithful. In any event, God won't help them in that moment. He can help them now while they're still breathing, but he can't help them then. The next point going backwards is, for they're keeping watch over your souls. Now the word for can mean all sorts of, it can be used to translate, different concepts. Because, by the fact that they, and so forth, they are keeping watch over your souls. So listen to it again. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls. The obedience and the submission to the leaders that we give is directly connected to the way that they keep watch over our souls. If it is clear that they are not keeping watch over our souls, then we have to ask how it is that we obey them. How do we submit to them? It is their point, and they have to be called, they will be called to God, to account to God for what they're doing. But the whole thing hinges on the way that they are keeping watch for our souls. If they are not keeping watch for our souls, if they're introducing something strange or weird or discordant or teaching something that is clearly false, well, then how, what do we do? Now, in what is it, in Matthew, I think, in Matthew 23, the Lord talks about the Pharisees who are hypocrites, but nevertheless have the seat of Moses. And he says, obey them. Insofar as their interpretation of Torah is concerned, you obey them, but don't do what they do because they're hypocrites. They don't follow what they teach. But nevertheless, he does emphasize to them the need to be respectful and to accept their teaching insofar as they are on the seat of Moses. In other words, if it's not, if they come up and they literally contradict Moses, well, then they're not in the seat of Moses, are they? Well, I think we can use this in a way to also to help us interpret what Paul is writing to the Hebrews here. If we have someone with a pointy hat stand up and say something that is, well, discordant or wrong, then there is a limit to our obedience and submission to that. And I think this is one of the things we have to walk away with, from this, with this reading. Remember your leaders, he starts out. Remember your leaders, the ones you had, who spoke back in the day the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. And then we connect this with the seed of Moses. Consider their teachings and their interpretations, and so long as they are in keeping with the Torah that they're interpreting, fine. But be careful about imitating their way of life, because they could be hypocrites. Okay, they could be introducing some strange things, strange practices, or not following what they preach. So blind obedience is not what we give to our leaders. We have to discern, and sometimes it's necessary actually for us, I think, in faithful obedience to leadership in the church, this leader or that leader at times has to be resisted. Dominus obiscum, oremus, veritas mea et misericordia mea cum ipso, et in nomine meo exultabitur cornum rebus. Orate fratres.